Welcome to the Disability And podcast, bringing together thoughtful discussion and debate. This month, founding editor of Disability Arts Online, Colin Hambrook, chats with Baluji and Linda Shrivastav about the Inner Vision Orchestra, Jazz Orient and Dotaware, a wearable braille device to assist visually impaired musicians in the working environment.
Welcome to the Disability And podcast. I'm Colin Hambrook, the founder of Disability Arts Online, and I'm absolutely delighted this month to have with us the award-winning musician Baluji Shrivastav and his wife Linda, who is the co-founder of the Baluji Music Foundation and also producer of the Inner Vision Orchestra. Hi, Balu. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, Colin, for introducing me. And yes, it's very nice to have you after a long time.
Yes, indeed. So, Baluji, can you tell us a bit about the Baluji Music Foundation's work supporting blind and partially sighted musicians? I know that earlier this year you were involved in producing a Blind to the Facts survey. Can you tell us a bit about the survey and some of the findings?
Yeah, we had the first survey in 95. The second survey we have just started, and it's coming over, but the actual survey report will be out on the line end of this year. But we have got a little bit of survey at the moment, which is maybe I'll ask Linda to make clear, because I don't have documents at hand.
Okay, so we've had over 100 respondents to the survey, and 65% of those respondents were visually impaired people. Dr. Claire Castle is still analysing the data, but so far the main points that have come through from the blind and visually impaired musicians is that the challenges they face are mainly to do with transportation and the difficulty of getting support from access to work for support workers and guides, and also the difficulty of networking and getting the information they need to be able to apply for work. So that's the analysis so far, but it will be in greater detail when we publish the report.
So can I say these difficulties have been before, and access to work is difficult to get hold of because we can talk to them, but the filling up the forms is too cumbersome. And whether they will accept or not, we don't know. So it's very, very difficult for blind and partially sighted to fill up those forms to begin with, and then waiting for acceptance. And everybody is not allowed to fill up the form, because if you're in work, then that's fine. If you're not in work, you're not allowed to fill up the form.
I can see that the barriers are endless, especially in this day and age where everything is moving more and more to online, and it's becoming much harder to speak to an officer at Access to Work or any other government agency to speak to anyone in person. And what kind of positive changes do you think, Baluji, need to happen to enable blind and partially sighted musicians to thrive?
Well, first of all, access to work has to be easier. Also, the transport, as Linda has mentioned, is very difficult. Well, it is difficult in London, and there are quite a bit of difficulty if music teachers or someone who lives outside in the countryside, transports are not available there. And also there are quite a few, like sound beacons used to be there, but now there are no sound beacons in many, many places. So these are the difficulties, and it could be made easier for blind people. Also, the main problem is also blind people are not countable. We can't really know how many blind people are anywhere. And for example, in Islington, there is no blind association. So there is nowhere to approach them. I mean, whenever we approach this question, there's old age person, they come and they say, we are, but we are is not enough. Where we are, how we are, how can we get access to is also important. So these are the difficulties still.
And what more do you think can be done to overcome these barriers? How do you think blind and partially sighted musicians can be supported better to network and to join forces, as it were?
The networking is very, very difficult unless there is a sighted person who is aware of needs of blind person. And if we are in the meetings, for example, a sighted person knows where who is sitting. So we can get in touch with that kind of person. But if there is no sighted person who is aware, not only helpful, they are all very helpful. And I'm very glad to say that we've got whatever volunteers we have got, they are very, very good. But if they are not aware of need of blind person who we should meet, so they should talk to the blind person. Do you want to see this person? Blind person will say yes or no, and then that will be, networking can be easier that way. When I was working with Iowa Foundation, I just went alone and bumped into people and found out who I want to talk to, and then I found people and I spoke to them. But that's more difficult for a blind person, and especially for people who are not confident, who are very shy, it's very difficult for them. So we need more training for that.
With the InnerVision Orchestra, are there training initiatives happening to help establish those networks and to support blind musicians to perform and promote themselves?
We also train how to take the blind person, how to handle blind person, and so on and so forth. We are trying our best to do that, yes.
And you've invented a process called DotAware, haven't you, to support blind musicians to read music. Can you tell us a bit about that project?
DotAware is it was my idea, but Linda has given the name DotAware, which is a very good name. And we have done the prototype, but it needs more funding to develop further. And it's vibration-based, so if the vibration comes on like Braille dots, so people are aware who know Braille, they can feel either on the neck or on the leg or wherever they want to feel, they can put that device, and that device should be connected via Bluetooth or a radio signal, whichever is easier. And that way, blind person can feel the music. Music will be in MIDI form, which will be easily translated into musical form from there, and that way they can feel. That's the whole idea. And also idea is that microphone is on the computer, and conductor speaks, tells which line, which column we have to go, and computer will take us there directly, and then blind person doesn't have to do much. There's a 6-dot rail system, so it's only 6-dot needed for one line music, but we could have 2 or 3 lines music. And there are chords systems in braille music, so it shouldn't be difficult.
It sounds intriguing, Baluji. How far away do you think the prototype is? Are you looking for funding currently to process this software?
Yes, prototype we have got a little bit, because it's not Bluetooth based at the moment. It's just one little device given to us, and we have to press the dot ourselves, or somebody else presses, and we have to feel those dots. And we can feel those dots, but it's very difficult, because blind people have to get used to of that sort of process. Like, we have to learn Braille. I learned Braille when I was 6, and it's a very slow process. But once they have learned it, it'll be much easier. But it has to be Bluetooth, and the microphone process still yet to be done. And it's automatic. The program has to be done. So for that, we will need fundings.
And will this influence composition as well? Will it be something that you can use to compose?
Yes, we can compose as well our own music, and that will be also on MIDI form. So basically, when we compose, we can put it on keyboard or whichever we do on MIDI form. Once it is on MIDI form, it could be accessible to anyone.
That sounds amazing. I wish you all the best in looking for funding to get this off the ground. It sounds like something that could revolutionise not just in the UK but worldwide.
Yeah, the other advantage of this software, if we use it as Braille, not only Braille music, then it'll be useful for deaf people as well. So deaf and blind, when they cook, they can find out what sort of ingredients and how you can use them. So blind and deaf, it'll be very, very useful for them.
Because it's dependent on sensation, on touch.
Exactly.
It sounds a great innovation.
Thank you.
Moving on, Baluji, I know that there are a wealth of blind musicians working in different genres who are, for instance, engaged with the InnerVision Orchestra. And I wondered if you would tell us a bit about some of the people that you're working with, and why it's important to support blind musicians to get to work, really.
Quite a few reasons. One is we are blind musicians, not only from UK, but from different parts of the world. Luckily, they are all based in London, and we found them by word of mouth, and we found also going to the organizations. And they are from Japan, they are from Nigeria, they're from India, they're from Iran, and they're from different parts of the world. So anybody who is musician is most welcome. Doesn't have to be musician, actually interested in music, because we can make musicians from them. Because for me, music is not only in Western form, which is composed and played. Music is an improvisation. Music is in the breath. Music is in the water, fire, earth, space, and everywhere. So music can be done by anything and anywhere. So we can make musicians. So yeah, for that reason, because our music is very inclusive of all kinds of medias and all kinds of ways. And we have done the big tour of 17 concerts. Some of them have been done, some of them will be done. We have been to Kala Sangam Bradford, and we have been to South Shields, and we have performed in London quite a few concerts in Holy Sepulchre Church, and also in Waterloo. We are performing in festivals. So we have done quite a lot of work, and all happened because of the fundings available by Arts Council and Vision Foundation. So we are very thankful for those organizations. And so it's a, yes, funding is constantly needed because we support blind musicians, and that's how it is. And anything Linda wants to add, probably?
Well, we have some outstanding musicians like Takashi Kikuchi from Japan, a viola player. We've made actually a film about him. It's a beautiful film, which you can access through the Balaji Music Foundation website. We have Victoria Oruwari, who is a wonderful opera singer, as well as she can sing any style, including Indian music, African music, jazz, blues. I mean, these are musicians who really should be in the mainstream because they have so much to offer. And of course, we have many more. We've got Kevin Satisabal from Colombia, a fabulous pianist. Thuy from Vietnam, who's a multi-instrumentalist. The list goes on. You can find them all on our website.
If there are some musicians who are not so well trained, but they can be trained even further if needed, because they are very good to listen my directions, and I'm very glad that they don't mind.
And Baloo has taught the Western classical musicians how to improvise, which opens up a lot more possibilities for them so they can play with other kinds of music, such as jazz, for example.
We have got a group called Jazz Orient, which has nothing to do with Inner Vision, but Linda is the owner of the Jazz Orient. And I think I keep saying she is the jazz and I'm the Orient.
And we are including members of Inner Vision in our gigs at Bloomsbury and part of the London Jazz Festival.
That's how we keep going. And that's why we need more money.
And you recently played at the International Blind Sports Federation World Games at the Symphony Hall in Birmingham. How did that concert go?
That concert went very well, with 2,000 people and probably more listeners on television. It went very well as far as musicians are concerned. They have done their best.
And I think it's fantastic the way that the Inner Vision Orchestra blends music and songs from so many different corners of the world and crosses so many boundaries, and the level of improvisation that happens through so many different traditions. It's a truly innovatory and wonderful joyful thing to experience.
Well, that's very kind of you. Yes, and it'll be on Radio 4 In Touch. So it'll listen again on Radio 4 on the BBC Sound.
Are there other highlights of the recent tour or venues and audiences that you're especially looking forward to playing to in the dates coming up?
Yeah, we are always looking for lovely, nice audience, and we are going to perform in Liberty Arts Festival on next Sunday, is it? Next Sunday, Linda? 3rd of September. And also we're going to perform in Gem Arts, which is in 14th or 15th, 14th September? 15th at Newcastle. And then 20th of October, I'm going to perform my classical music, Indian classical music, at Nehru Centre, which is South Audley Street in London.
I do hope to get to one of the concerts coming up. Have you composed anything yourself for this tour?
The Inner Vision theme I've composed, which is in two parts, and also for this Birmingham International Sports Festival, Linda has composed a piece called Anthem. Anthem was composed by Linda, and it was appreciated, and everybody sang. It was very, very nice. And I'm also composing for the next part of the tour a piece for Equinox, which will be performed in Leeds.
When's that taking place?
23rd of December, mm-hmm. Just before Christmas.
A wonderful way to end the year.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to see you. And if you let me know how many people are coming together, then we will leave some free tickets for you.
That's very, very kind of you. I look forward to it very much, Baluji. Do you have plans for next year at all that are on the horizon for either for Inner Visions or for Jazz Orient?
Yes, we've got London Jazz Festival, and as I said already, I'm composing music for Equinox, and we have other concerts in January, February, something. And we are hoping to be in WOMED. So there are some things coming up. Also, if I'm commissioned for any more music, I'm happy to compose. We have got also composers in our own group. Ziad, who composes Arabic style music or some English songs put into the Arabic style music, he composes that. And also Takashi is also starting composing. Tui is a composer. So we've got composers as well. So it's not only me. We have got full of composers, lots of music composers.
How does that work? How do musicians within the orchestra come together to share their work with the rest of the musicians?
But at the moment, we send recordings on WhatsApp. We create a group, and that's how we can work out our audio sound. And we meet together, and then we rehearse together. I've also composed one Urdu opera, which is the very first opera in Urdu language. And I'm looking for the fundings to go further. We have performed in bits of it in a festival hall here in London, Queen Elizabeth Hall. And also we have performed in India, in Mumbai Opera House and Delhi British Theatre Group. Sorry, we have performed there. And we need more fundings to develop this opera further, because at the moment we are basically 12, 13 people, but we need more choir and more musicians.
We're hoping to do this with the Bradford Opera Festival. We are working in partnership with them, and hopefully next year this project is going to have another chance to be heard by everybody.
Can I also say that when we performed in Birmingham, we are very thankful for B Music to be working with us and Live Music Now. And also, can I also say that we have developed a blind spot, which I keep saying, by busking. Now, on that, I'll suggest also, busking should not be allowed only on South Bank everywhere, but it should be also allowed in underground, because outside will be very cold and it'll be easier for blind musicians to go in the underground and busking there. So even though busking is not part of our performances, but it's part of our development. And also it's very good for networking, because when they perform, they don't earn very much money when they busk, but they meet other people. So that's a very good for networking. And I've got sort of feedback from those musicians, and they really appreciate also the loneliness is not there, because otherwise they are very alone musicians. And so it helps them socializing.
And there are barriers there, in that you need to get a license and all those sorts of things in order to take up those opportunities. Have you bused at all in Covent Garden? I would imagine that would be a.
So yeah, first question. Yes, of course, there are these barriers which should be. They should make it a bit easier for blind people to obtain license, which South Bank has done, and very kind of them. But for underground and from outside or wherever they want to perform, it should be easier for them. Second question, yes, I have performed 40 years ago, but there was no license, nothing. But I was auditioned, and in the first audition I was passed. And I did perform one or two days. I didn't perform too many times, because I really don't like to busk myself. But Linda wants to say something.
Well, when Baloo first came to Europe, he was in France, and he did have an office, which he called his office. It was the Paris Metro. And he met a lot of people and ended up performing in Tunisia, didn't you, in Carthage, because of the musicians that you met there.
Yes, I used to perform in Châtelet, Léal, Montparnasse, and those were my Paris offices. Yes, I used to earn quite a lot of money. And also, yes, as Linda said, I performed in Carthage. I performed in Algeria, Libya, and Tunisia. Not only Carthage Festival, but different other festivals as well. So I was very lucky that I found one Arabic musician who was very kind to take me everywhere. But in London, only in Covent Garden a couple of times.
And is this with the sitar?
Yeah, I performed with sitar, because it's within itself, it's a very rhythmic instrument. And because of the plucking instrument. And it has got lovely melodies. But if I had some other musicians, I wouldn't have minded performing with some other musicians. But at that moment, I only did the sitar.
I know that you've had a very, very rich and varied career, Bellucci, and you've performed with quite a few famous musicians as well. It's always an absolute delight to hear you play. I think the last time I saw you perform was the Unlimited Festival at the South Bank Centre. That's been a great space for you, I feel. I've seen you perform at that festival quite a few times now with different musicians from the Innovision group.
That was Unlimited, which funded us to perform here in Queen Elizabeth Hall, and then in three performances in India. And that was, I'm very, very thankful to Unlimited. And also, yes, musicians have been very kind. I've performed with Stevie Wonder, Annie Lennox, Boy George, Future Sound of London, Massive Attack, Shakira, and any more, Linda? Yes, you can't remember? Jazz Orient. And who?
Doves.
Yeah, that's right. Asian Doves. No, sorry, Doves. Only Doves. I get confused. So they have been very kind musicians, and I would like more kind music producers and pop musicians to be kind to us and ask more of us, not only me, but the other blind people who are very much capable to perform with them. So that's what I hope. And thank you very much for all the musicians who are listening to me.
Well, and thank you, Bellucci. I wish you all the best with all of the initiatives that you're taking part in, and with the upcoming concerts at the Bloomsbury Festival and at the Nehru Centre in October. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I look forward to the survey as well coming out, Blind to the Facts, and if there's anything that Disability Arts Online can do to help to get the word out about the results of that survey, then you know, we'd be more than happy to help promote it.
That's very kind of you, saying some kind words and appreciation, and promise that DAOL can do a lot for us. Yes, and also if anybody wants and any further information, please contact us on www.balujimusicfoundation.org.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Bellucci and Linda, for taking part in our podcast. We'll bring the conversation to a close for the moment, but I would like to thank our listeners for joining us, and I wish you and the rest of the Innovision Orchestra and the Jazz Orient musicians, I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, you and Ian, and I hope it will not be so long again. So we will be in contact again. So I'm not ready yet, because it takes a bit of time for Indian musicians to tune the instruments, you know.
Please join us on the Disability And podcast next month, when Mind the Gap's Paul Wilshaw chats with artist and activist James Ledbetter, aka the Vacuum Cleaner. Finally, a big thank you to Bellucci Srivastava, wishing him the best with the remaining gigs in the current tour. We're delighted that he's kindly offered to play us out with a section from part one of his composition, Inner Vision.
Sitar has got 22 strings, so it takes 22 minutes to tune.
So what are you going to
do? Because I'm going to play the Inner Vision tune, the first part of it. Which is mainly based on one scale called Vasant Mukhari. Goes like this. So here goes the composition. Thank you.